So. So what do you say about nearly 10 years of your life measured out in radio programs? For me, it's that long, though not for most of the rest of you, since this show was birthed in the shadows of a long-forgotten mission to become a public radio alternative in morning drive time. That goal, written in grant proposals and pitches, launched The Takeaway. Then two of the biggest stories of this century, the election of Barack Obama and the financial debacle that almost took down the global economy, lifted us steadily as a place where people could hear ideas mixed with news, the occasional laugh, a way of speaking and thinking that said you could have power over the things you couldn't control by understanding them, beyond scandals and silly showdowns and even unsatisfying elections. But as a Don Quixote tilting at windmills, the likes of me and my co-hosts in those days, Adore Udoji and Celeste Headley, were not about to slow the mighty veins of Morning Edition on public radio, right? So 5 years ago, The Takeaway became a one-hour daytime program with a single host. Me. There, another, to my mind, more worthy mission would thrive. I've always felt, you see, that the news is a bit of a con, or less than meets the eye sometimes. So much talk about the United States in the world's media. It makes no sense. The antics of Trump, Putin, Modi, Merkel, Xi Jinping, how much do they matter in your lives, really? I've always sensed there's a hunger out there to find deeper answers to more haunting questions like, what do I do in civic society? How do I make change when voting seems so beside the point? Why do things seem so broken? Why do smart people seem so silly once they get political power? Why do some of those smart people proceed into flag-waving debacles that go on for years and manufacture enemies that don't really threaten us, kill our best and bravest for nothing, it seems, turn others into the burned and maimed for life, turn still others into vessels of confused rage who live among us? How can being interested in the news be the beginning of something bigger than finding out just what's going to happen tomorrow? And that's been my mission throughout my career. Confronting those questions, not just the headlines. During my time in the Middle East, in Africa, for instance, when looking at a little Palestinian boy holding onto a carton of eggs while soldiers and militants towered over him and battled in the streets of Jerusalem, that was the memorable image that taught me to think that the headline that day was less important than what that little boy would grow up and feel as a man. He was the story that day and now. But the reporters all ignored him, including me. But I've never forgotten him. Or how in Somalia, a village of well-fed, even obese people allowed the people in the next village to starve and die. We don't want to become skeleton people, one woman said, teaching me that famine is political, actually, when a society breaks down completely. Then one time on a show called Heat, back in 1990 on public radio, here at this station, WNYC, we were doing a lot of shows on religious conservatives and their impact in politics and wondering about the influence of folks like Jerry Falwell and Phyllis Schlafly, until a little girl on the show read her poetry. We were doing something on a writing program here in New York City. And she said in one line, "Religions are like radiators, everywhere and nowhere." I mean, it just blew me away, this little girl. I never forgot it. It stayed in my mind. It's deepened my understanding of religious politics. And it's an understanding that was delivered by nothing we would ever call news. You know, I met up with that little girl, all grown up and married with a daughter, years later. She came to an event in Boston one time to thank me for that moment on the radio that she said taught her to value her own thoughts and ideas. So for me, you see, that's public radio. People with confidence, gaining confidence about their truths and then sharing them. A way of speaking that makes people turn on their curiosity, switch it right on. A way of questioning, interviewing, that also makes listeners want to ask their own questions. A public radio that's suspicious of feeling like a club of all the same kind of people, that believes curiosity is the birthing room for political action and that engaged communities are the lifeblood of politics. And so here at the end of my work on The Takeaway, This show is being held aloft by arguably another of the biggest stories of the century, the Trump phenomenon. Here and now, we mean to explore, investigate, be unafraid in our critiques and uncynical in our hard looks at what we believe is really going on. It's what this show does, a show about democracy and the power of all of us, prodded sometimes, I suppose, by a host who's doing more than just reading. And this program, The Takeaway, will be doing that long after I'm gone. And it's what I'll be doing wherever I go next. Long after I say, take a breath, John. Goodbye.
Karen from South Salem, New York. John, I can only wish you the best. You've taught me, made me laugh, made me think about what I'm going to value and fight for given the state of our country. Many thanks and much success in your next adventure.
Hey, John, it's Kevin from Manchester, New Hampshire. You have done an awesome job. I don't know how many years I've been listening to you, but you have made me a better listener. God bless you, son. Man, you've done a great job to help inform the American public.
Genevieve LaRiva, Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I've enjoyed The Takeaway so much. It has been the accompaniment to my cooking solo in the kitchen, a backdrop to the sun descending on the New York skyline.
This is Jim Lyons in Dallas, Texas. I wanted to just thank you for all the work you've done to make my brain a little bit better.
My name is Lori. I'm calling from Valhalla, New York. And, John, it will be difficult when 3 o'clock rolls around and your familiar, incisive, and humorous commentary is not to be found. There you were to keep me company through my disability challenges and many, many operations. And thank you for being there for all of us.
Huckenberry, this is Marion in Southern Pines, North Carolina. I want to offer you a deep bow of gratitude, John, for your being the very best of company. You have been my North Star.
This is Barry Fisher from Brooklyn, New York. For me, about The Takeaway Show with Hockenberry was that when the show ended, the conversations kept going for me and the people I was around.
Bill from Brooklyn, your incisive, probing questions will be greatly missed, as well as your voice and your mind and what's next.
Hello, John. This is Michelle from Honolulu and Kaneohe. And I just wanted to say thank you for your insight, your dedication, everything on The Takeaway.
John, it's Paul from Chatham, New Jersey. Aren't you the new guy? I remember when you were. You still seem like the same fresh and exciting mind you always were. Good luck on your next adventures. You've earned that luck.
Wow. That one nailed it there at the end. You still feel like the new guy. I would have never thought of that. That makes me very happy. And, you know, if Michelle out there in Honolulu would let me just sort of come out and put a tent in her yard, maybe, that would be good. There's still some summer left. Thanks to all of you for listening. I felt you all out there. I would encounter people on the street all over the country. It's a community. It's a national conversation. It looks so dumb on a memo in planning, but we made it real. Thanks, guys. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
PRI, Public Radio International.